I'm Paul Harris, filling in for Steve. Thanks for listening on our final weekday show of the year. I'll be back here Tuesday, which will be the first official day that anyone gets to vote in the presidential election. Yes, the election that the rest of America won't have its final say on until next November. Iowans will get to have some of the say this Tuesday. Now, I've talked before about how Iowa is really a bad bellwether for America because it's way more white bread conservative than the rest of the country, particularly the Republican base there. And really, the more extreme a candidate's right-wingishness, the better their chances. But that's why people like Michelle Bachmann became big deals in Iowa, why Rick Santorum has been having a surge over the last few days. But there's Mitt Romney, the Republican robot, who just keeps rolling along with his 23-24%. And now the scuttlebutt out of Iowa is perhaps he's ready to lock things up. What does all of that mean, and is any of it really important for next year? Let's bring in my friend Josh Krausar, who is the executive editor of National Journal's Hotline in Washington, D.C. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Hey, good to be here, and Happy New Year to you, Paul.
Thank you, and to you. So, first of all, why do we make such a big deal out of a state that 4 years ago went for Mike Huckabee and at one point was in the Pat Buchanan, Pat Robertson camp?
Because it's the first state, and we've been waiting months and months to see what voters, even a disproportionate, a slice of the electorate that doesn't match the rest of the Republican Party. But the Iowa voters have always been first, and they always like to set the stage for the rest of the primary and caucuses that are to come. And just the fact that we actually will have voters give their verdict on what they think of this Republican field. And, you know, you were talking about Mitt Romney staying at that 25% mark. But if Romney can win in a state like Iowa, which is predominated with evangelicals, much more socially conservative Republicans than in the rest of the country, that bodes very, very well for Romney throughout the rest of the country, certainly in New Hampshire, but in states like Florida and even South Carolina, which have primaries coming up in the next few weeks. A strong Romney performance in Iowa, where no one thought months ago he would be able to compete effectively, that would certainly set the tone for the rest of the Republican nomination process.
In fact, I think it was earlier this month he was polling at about 4% there, but it seems like he's increased his presence. It seems like he's been spending a lot of time in Iowa. Why would a guy who is probably going to be able to lock up New Hampshire and then roll on to the nomination from there pay this much attention to the people of Iowa?
Well, Romney has always publicly downplayed his ability to win Iowa. It's a state that he was very careful to look at the expectations game and keep them low because he knows the demographics of a state like Iowa are not very favorable to a more center-right businessman who has changed his positions on abortion and a lot of key social issues over his political career. But in these last couple of weeks, we've noticed that Romney is aggressively doing things that indicate he's making a play to win this thing, and it's not just the polls that show him in a narrow first place lead in these final 2 weeks, but we see Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey heading to Iowa to campaign on Romney's behalf today. He's sending the big guns in, surrogates. Some of his volunteers who were camped out in Boston are now moving to Iowa to get out the vote on behalf of Romney. And if you talk to folks on the Romney campaign, they are much, much more optimistic than they were, say, several weeks ago. And they're not saying they're going to win this thing, but they're privately very optimistic that they could very well finish first and certainly do something that they didn't even expect themselves several weeks ago.
The only other candidate who has any kind of decent organization on the ground in Iowa seems to be Ron Paul, who coincidentally is the only one who's up there with Romney-like numbers. What are his realistic chances?
Ron Paul has the benefit of having the most devoted base of supporters. So we've seen over the last month, we've seen all these other candidates that have been the flavor of the month, whether it's Newt Gingrich or whether it's Herman Cain or earlier Michelle Bachmann, who would rise in the polls and then see their numbers collapse, fall down very, very quickly. Ron Paul has always been at least at around the 15% mark, and his numbers have gone slightly upwards over the last several weeks. So he knows that with his strong organization, he'll have a pretty high high floor of support in these caucuses. The question with Ron Paul, though, is his ceiling is also fairly low because his views on foreign policy, his isolationist perspective, and now some of the revelations about past newsletters that were published under his name have been coming out and have been giving him negative press. So the real question is, can Ron Paul expand his support significantly, or has he peaked at this point? If he's peaked, I think Mitt Romney has an excellent chance of winning these caucuses. If Ron Paul can continue to see that momentum surge in the final few days, the fact that he has this supportive base, this really enthusiastic base, is going to help him out dramatically.
All right, two things about the newsletters. One, as the revelation about them, or some of the revelations about them, because we don't really know the whole story yet, have they affected any of the polls when it comes to Ron Paul voters? And secondly, why doesn't he address this and answer questions like, who wrote these racist things in the newsletters that he published and made millions from?
Well, Paul, in terms of the polls, we haven't seen any poll come out that fully addresses the period of time where Paul has responded and reacted to the newsletters that went out under his name. And, I think a lot of – Paul has a base of support. I'd say about 60-65% of his supporters are hardcore Ron Paul supporters, and they're going to show up no matter what kind of negative press he gets, no matter if they believe in his libertarian message and they agree with him on his foreign policy as well. But I think there's also a big chunk of voters that he's been seen rally to his side in recent weeks that don't know about the newsletters, that don't know so much about his foreign policy views, and that are hearing fresh things about Ron Paul that aren't quite what they may have thought when they signed up for a principled candidate who has espoused fiscally conservative budget balancing types of views on the campaign trail. And I think the big risk for Ron Paul is, as that coverage is getting national attention and also getting more attention in Iowa, his numbers may have crested and they may be dipping back in just a little bit, and that's the worst possible time for that to happen. He's addressed the issue of the newsletters and not very effectively. He said he didn't know that these racist comments that were written in his newsletters went out under his name, and he said he knew nothing about them. But when you're a publisher of a publication that's called the Ron Paul newsletter,
yeah,
you better believe that most publishers look at the content, or at least are aware of the content that have been out there under your name. So his explanations have not been very persuasive. I don't think that matters for most of his supporters, but for the people that are giving Ron Paul a real look for the first time and possibly going to his side, that could be a game changer in whether he can actually win these Iowa caucuses.
You mentioned that Paul probably has a ceiling as well as the floor that he has with his base. Is it because he has that ceiling, the other candidates know that, and that's why they're not attacking him in the ads, while the vitriolic ads against Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney have been flying back and forth?
What's fascinating, Paul, over these last few days, candidates have been attacking Ron Paul. Rick Santorum was attacking him pretty aggressively on foreign policy. Newt Gingrich did the same about his newsletters several days ago. The calculus for the not Mitt Romney candidates are that they need to consolidate that base of conservative support if any one of them has a chance of winning these caucuses. So you're seeing a lot more scrutiny pointed in Ron Paul's direction. The question is how committed. I mean, the question is whether some of his support would entertain supporting one of the other conservative candidates, whether it's a Rick Santorum, whether it's a Rick Perry, whether it's a Newt Gingrich. But in every poll we've seen, the conservative base is split almost evenly between all the contenders. You have a remarkable division between all five non-Romney candidates, whether it's Ron Paul at about 19%, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, all getting between 15% and 20% in these recent polls. And unless there's an anti-Romney candidate that can really consolidate that support, it's going to be hard for any one of them to come in first place.
Now, you posted something very interesting on your blog on the hotline today. It says, adding insult to injury, the Virginia Republican Party is requiring all voters in the state's March presidential primary, the one where just Mitt Romney and Ron Paul will be competing, to sign a loyalty oath pledging to support the Republican nominee, and anyone who refuses to sign will be barred from voting in the primary. What effect is that going to have?
Yeah, well, this has a lot to do with the state of play in the general election in November. And Virginia is one of the biggest battlegrounds between President Obama and whoever the Republican nominee ends up being. And the Republican Party is very short-sighted. First, they get this negative publicity over the holidays because they argue that Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich, and every other Republican candidate not named Romney or Paul can't qualify for the presidential ballot because they didn't get enough legal signatures. Well, that's going to mean there are going to be fewer Republicans or Republican-leaning independents that show up for the March primary. It's going to hurt the party's ability to identify potential general election voters. So Republicans need a strong get-out-the-vote operation in a big battleground like Virginia. And first having a primary that's a Mount Snow Beauty contest isn't a way to do it. And now you have the party saying, you know, we want each candidate to sign this loyalty oath that you have to vote for a Republican to participate in the primary. And it doesn't have any legal standing. Anyone can sign the sheet of paper and do whatever they want in the general election. But it just gives some awfully negative optics for both the party at large and the ability to attract independents who are a growing number, make up a growing share of the Virginia electorate, who may want to participate in the Republican primary because they support Romney, because they're dissatisfied with President Obama, but then they see this loyalty oath that they're going to have to sign, and it can't endear them very well to the party at all.
It also could affect some of the Ron Paul voters who might go in there and say, you know what, I'm a Ron Paul guy, but if Mitt Romney's my nominee, I don't want to have to vote for him. I may just sit this whole thing out. And the Republicans in Virginia are saying, no, you can't do it that way. If you're going to vote in our primary, you've got to vote for whoever gets the majority here, and whoever wins our primary, you have to promise to vote for that person. What are they going to do? Go to people's houses and drag them to the polls next November?
Well, that's the sheer lunacy of it, because you can't do anything. So why subject yourself to this ridicule when there's no legal standing anyone has, any party has, in telling people how to vote or barring people from voting in a primary based on their general election preferences? In fact, what's really interesting is in past, the Republican Party has been desperately trying to identify potential Republican voters, and they've looked up there's no party registration in Virginia, so the best way for party officials to identify who might vote on the Republican side is to look at who voted in past Republican primaries. But if you're discouraging non-hardcore Republicans from voting in the primary itself, you're losing the opportunity to identify potential voters and to really get your message out to them. It's shooting yourself in the foot. So it's a self-defeating decision by Virginia Republicans, and it shows this tension, Paul, between the grassroots activists, which have had a larger role in this nomination process, and the establishment, which really has been trying to put the best face forward for the Republican Party and its nominee heading into the general election.
Great analysis, as always, Josh. Thanks so much for your time today. Have a very happy new year.
Happy new year to you, Paul. Take care.
Josh Kraushauer is the executive editor of National Journal's Hotline in Washington, D.C., and a frequent guest with me here on the Big 550 KTRS.